Welcome to Kaz's sixth installment of the Superintendent Virtual Collaborative Podcast. The title of this podcast is What Good Schools Can Do for a Community. I'd like to start this podcast with a quote about educational leadership, but before sharing the quote, I want to put the words in context because in the quote it refers to superintendents as he, and in one case, one man. And the context is that this quote was written at a much earlier time when men dominated the profession and women, in fact, were not in the profession at all. And in light of the fact that this is Women's History Month, we should take note that women are much more involved in leadership roles, as should be, and it shows you the changes in the times in terms of how leadership is viewed in education as well in the broader society. And I quote, "A superintendent of schools, in my judgment, does not have to be an expert in a wide diversity of special areas. It is completely unrealistic to assume that any one man can be an expert in all these fields. On the other hand, he does need to be an expert in two fields. First, human relations, or working with people. And second, knowledge of what good schools can do for a community. If he is competent in these two points, the others take care of themselves." Well, it'd be hard to argue against the relevancy of the two areas of expertise identified in this quote. And in fact, just reading a article out of the latest Harvard Business Review called The Future of Leadership Development, the author states, "Chief learning officers find that traditional programs no longer adequately prepare executives for the challenges they face today and those they will face tomorrow. Companies are seeking the communicative, interpretive, effective, and perceptual skills needed to lead coherent, proactive collaboration. But most executives' education programs, designed as extensions of a substitute for MBA programs, focus on discipline-based skill sets, such as strategy development and financial analysis, and seriously underplay important relational, communication, and affective skills." And I think that that's what the original quote is getting at, are those what we call today soft skills. So let me ask you, any guesses when the quote was written? These words come from a pamphlet titled Kaz's Seminar Series on Educational Administration, Report of Seminar Number 3, Time for Educational Leadership, June 6, 1951. So as far back as 1951, educators were talking about the importance of human relations and the importance of knowing your community. The specific quote is based on comments titled Principles to Guide School Administrators in the Apportionment of Their Time for Professional Duties, and it was made by Dr. Walter D. Cocking, Chairman of the Board of Editors for the American School Publishing Company. Now, Dr. Cocking made some other interesting comments about the role of communities in shaping schools and the work of superintendents. And that's the crux of today's podcast. Dr. Cocking said, "There may be a difference of belief regarding what is the purpose of a superintendent of schools. I don't believe that it is the purpose of the superintendent of schools to convince the community of what his purpose is. It is the function of the people of the community to explain to the superintendent what they want his role to be. Schools in a community belong to the people of the community, not to the profession. It is the duty of the community to determine what they want from the schools." Well, this is a pretty interesting idea, especially when you think about current times. Understanding what a community wants from its school district and its schools is especially difficult when you think about the complex and often polarized views of community members. My interpretation of Cocking's comments is that he's not speaking about what we currently refer to as community schools, though they are important. I also don't believe he's referring to what we more typically see as the role of community members in the day-to-day work of schools, those more ancillary contributions such as being a room parent or serving on a PTA or even a building or district shared decision-making committee. No, I think his real focus is about listening to the community and truly understanding its hopes and its dreams for the future, and also its current needs. A great example of what I'm asserting comes from New York Kids Study, College and Career Readiness, Promising Practices from Odds Beating Schools. And I've mentioned this particular study in a previous podcast. One of the schools, Sherburn Earlville High School, which is an odd beating school in the study, at that school, leaders and teachers spoke of making strides in an effort to develop a curricular program based on the needs and interests of the community. The report explains that the centerpiece of their version of cultural responsiveness is evident in such curricular adaptations as the rebuilding of the agricultural science program, which had been eliminated in the 1990s. Sherburn Earlville High School reimagined their agricultural science program because it was what the community wanted and needed. As stated in the report, reinstating this program had long been a priority for many parents, students, and teachers because Sherburn Earlville has historically been an agriculturally dominant community. The Sherburn Earlville example really speaks to the heart of what W.D. Cocking was speaking about regarding leadership in 1951. There is no great need that every community should expect the same thing of superintendents of schools. I agree with what Cocking says. More than ever, superintendents need to be in tune with the pulse of their community. So how? Well, one way, as described by the superintendent of Sherburn Earlville, goes back to what Cocking pointed out as one of two areas of expertise, human relations. The superintendent from Sherburn Earlville said, "I had a conversation just the other day with one of my former biology students who has a small organic farm. He could have really benefited from some of those ag science courses, and we're looking to bring those pieces back." We can't and should not, as leaders, try to be everything to everyone. However, we need to have the knowledge, as Dr. Cocking said, of what good schools can do for a community. To that end, I offer this bit of research to consider. In Green's Community-Based Audits, A Practical Approach for Educational Leaders to Support Equitable Community School Improvements, the author describes the four phases of the community-based equity audit process. The four phases are: 1, disrupt deficit views of community; 2, conduct initial community inquiry and shared experiences; 3, develop community leadership teams; and 4, collect equity asset-based community data for action. Though this model is focused on the important issue of equity, the process for conducting an equity audit provides a roadmap for leaders to gain critical knowledge about a community's needs, hopes, and dreams. Especially practices embedded in the last phase of the process, which includes collecting data on school community history, analyzing community opportunity indicators, and conducting critical community dialogues that can be powerful tools. To learn more about equity audits, click on the link provided with this podcast and engage in a conversation about what good schools can do for a community. So join in our Google group, and until next time, I wish you the best as you work with your community.